See the pictures on the news, things on television, and the multitudes around the world, and it just amazes me that God allowed me to be one of the ones that got in. There's so many multiplied millions that have never heard the truth of God's word. There are people on this earth today who have never even heard the name Jesus Christ. And when I think about how many there are, or I should say how few there are that really, really, really know the redeeming grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, I count myself to be privileged. And folks, there's a lot of people on this world today. About 6.7 billion, as last I heard. And the vast majority of them have no idea what salvation is. If you're saved this morning, you know the Lord Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin, you are among a very small minority of people. Not many people really know what it means to be saved by the grace of God. And it just overwhelms me that God would come by my way and let me have the free pardon of sin and the blessed hope of eternal life. God help us that there are many today that don't know anything about it. We're in Romans chapter number 9. Don't forget to pick up some of the literature on the back table in the back. Take all that you need. Don't take more than you need. But take it, read over those brochures, take some of the prayer cards of our missionaries. I try to take missionary prayer cards with me everywhere I go. I preach this, and I'm not ashamed to preach it, that what missionaries need more than your finances is your prayers. There is no substitute for prayer. And I challenge you to find you a closet somewhere and get alone and pray. The first command the Lord Jesus Christ gave concerning missions was to his disciples to pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he'd send forth laborers into the harvest. I thank God. We got an article in our magazine this month about the Sudan and what we call the Sudanese call. And God has put in our lap the responsibility of doing something about the needs of South Sudan, Africa. And I say that without reservation. It's obvious from the way things took place that God in his providence brought to the attention of Prayer Baptist Missions the need of South Sudan, Africa. And I believe we would miss the will of God if we don't do everything within our power and with God's help to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to that region. God has begun to answer prayers. We need finances for a survey trip. God's already sent in $2,500 towards that. We began to pray that God would send missionaries to South Sudan. And I've already gotten call from two men who said they've been surrendered to God to go to Sudan, Africa. God's moving. God's working. But I want to bring a message this morning that God put on my heart several months ago. I know what time it is. I'll try to be a good steward. I don't know of a message I've ever preached that I have wept over more than this message. Been brought under more conviction myself over any message that I ever preached like I have this one. And I trust that you'll let God speak to your heart this morning. You pray for me that I can say what the Lord's put on my heart. Would you stand as we, in Romans chapter number 9, beginning in verse number 1. Paul said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants, the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom concerning the flesh Christ came, who was over all. God bless forever. Amen. I want to take my text this morning out of the first three verses, especially in verse number 2. Paul said that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. I'll preach on this thought this morning about the evidence of a big burden. With this question in mind, how big is your burden? How big is your burden? Father, Lord, I need your help this morning. I'm nothing, Lord, and nobody, but oh God, that people might see the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Help us, Lord, to just learn from the Scriptures this matter of getting under a burden for people who are lost and on their way to hell. Lord, I need your Spirit this morning. I need your power. And I pray, oh God, you'd give it to us, Lord, to the fullest measure that we need this morning. Speak to hearts across the congregation this morning, Lord. I pray especially, God, if there's some here that know not the Lord Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin, that today would be the day they'd come and freely receive what you so freely offer, and that's the blessed hope of eternal life. And Father, I pray you'd bless every God-called missionary around this world and every man of God that stands and preaches this morning, save souls, and magnify the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You cannot help but sense when you read this passage of Scripture the great burden that the Apostle Paul has in his heart for his people. I somehow get the feeling that as Paul was beginning to reminisce over the things that are taking place in his life, in the ministry God has given him, and especially in writing the book of Romans, I think about this book. It's the greatest book that we know of on the subject of salvation. In chapters 1 through 3, we find that Paul deals with the matter of sin, and he shows us how that the heathen is lost, the hypocrite's lost, the Hebrew's lost, and concludes that the whole world is lost without the Lord Jesus Christ. In the latter part of chapter 3 and down through chapter number 5, we find Paul talks about this matter of salvation, how the Lord Jesus Christ came and gave himself for us on the cross of Calvary, and how that he was raised again for our justification. And thank God because of that, we have peace with God. Amen. And then we think about chapters 6, 7, and 8 where he deals with this matter of sanctification. I tell you, you want to find out how you ought to live a Christian life this morning, you go to Romans chapter number 6 and read the first 11 or 12 verses and you'll find out just what your position is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God before I got saved, I was outside of Christ. But when I got saved, I got into Christ. I was adopted by Him, birthed into the family of God, died to my old way of life, and was placed in Christ Jesus. And that's my position today. I was outside of Christ, but thank God, now I'm in Christ. Amen. I'm sanctified and set apart, and I belong to Him today. And by the way, that position never changes. I'll always be in Christ Jesus because He never loses none of His. Thank God for eternal salvation. Amen. Been sanctified and set apart for His. And in the last verses of Romans chapter 6, you'll find that Paul tells us how to bring our practice in line with our position so that we can not only be positionally sanctified, but we can be practically sanctified and live a sanctified life. Chapter 7, he talks about the struggles of the Christian life and how that he fights against the flesh, against the spirit, and things he would do, he's not doing, the things he would not do that he's doing. Amen. In chapter 8, thank God, he gives us the security of our salvation. He starts chapter 8 with no condemnation and ends it with no separation. Amen. I thank God for no separation. And I believe Paul gets to chapter number 9 And he takes a little break, a parenthetical passage, if you will, because he picks back up on the Christian life in chapter 12 and talks about our service for God. But something happened in the Apostle Paul's heart, I believe, when he was writing the book of Romans, and he saw all the heathen that he had led to Christ. He saw how that the hypocrites had gotten saved, and God had called him and sent him around the world at that time, and people began to get saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then I believe Paul remembered that his kinsmen, his brethren, his kinsmen according to the flesh, had not received the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul all of a sudden got under a great and heavy burden for his people. What is a burden? The Bible tells us that a burden is something that's to be borne and carried. It's a heavy load. We think about the contents of a ship, that's a burden. We think about the number of tons and things that a vessel can carry, and that's a burden. But a burden can also be defined as that which is borne with labor or difficulty, that which is grievous, wearisome, and oppressive. I think about the burden that Paul had. Paul got a burden for Israel. But notice what he says here. For my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul just didn't see a nation of people, but I believe Paul saw individuals. He saw real, living individual people that needed the same Savior that he found. Today we get all bogged up in numerical statistics, and nothing wrong with that. I hear missionaries giving testimonies all the time about how many millions of people live in this place they're going to, and we get hung up on the numerical statistics. But what we need to focus on is the need for souls. You think about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in John chapter 10. He said, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own by name. I believe in Matthew chapter 9, when the Bible says that Jesus saw the multitude and was moved with compassion. I don't believe Jesus just saw the multitude, but I believe Jesus saw real living people who would spend the eternity in a place called hell if they didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We need to quit looking statistically and geographically and politically and economically and start looking at them individually and compassionately. Paul got under a big burden we find here in these verses of Scripture. And I want to give you just a few thoughts this morning and ask you this question. How big is your burden? He says here, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. Paul's using something here we ourselves use. You ever said something and you try to tell somebody something, you say, now listen, I'm telling you the truth right now. Somebody said, when a man tells you that, that means he'll lie sometimes. Amen. But Paul says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Paul says, what I'm about to tell you, I would tell to God. I'm fixing to tell you something that's the truth. You can take it to the bank. And he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, so I know it's true. Amen. He said that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Watch this. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. Paul said, I have such a heavy burden for my people that if I thought that me being cursed and separated from Christ would get them in, that's what I'd be willing to do. But in you that wouldn't work, because only one person can die for another man's sin, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the remedy. But it expresses to us the enormity of Paul's burden. Paul said, literally saying, I would be willing to suffer hell if it meant my people could get saved by the grace of God. How big's your burden this morning? You got a burden like the Apostle Paul, you understand now why it got to be such a heaviness on my heart. I had to get on my face and weep before God before I could preach this message. How big is our burden? Do you realize some things will be evident if you have a burden? A big burden will give evidence inwardly. Paul said that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. If we ever get under a burden for lost souls, the way the Apostle Paul did, it will have an effect on us inwardly. You'll know in your heart whether you got that burden or not. Amen. Oh me. Listen, it'll create grief in your heart. He said, I have great heaviness. Can I ask you a question this morning? I asked myself the same thing. When was the last time that you got under such a heavy burden for a lost sinner that it drove you to your knees and brought tears to your eyes? You ever thought about that? Listen, my friend, if we ever get under a burden for souls like the Apostle Paul did, I believe it'll drive us to our knees and we'll shed precious tears before God, and tears move the heart of God. If you don't believe us, you read about King Hezekiah, who God told King Hezekiah, thou shalt die and not live. And Hezekiah got under a burden for his own soul and turned his face to the wall and began to pray. And the Bible says he wept bitter tears. And while he was weeping bitter tears, God told Isaiah, turn around and go back and tell him I'm going to give him 15 more years. The tears of Hezekiah moved the heart of God. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And I believe the Apostle Paul got under a heavy burden for his people. He said, I have continual sorrow, heaviness in my heart, and continual sorrow in my heart. That phrase, continual sorrow, it gives us the idea that any time, he's talking about his kinsmen, his brother, that any time he thought about his kinsmen perishing, that it was a painful thought. Does it grieve us? Does it not bother us that there are people on this globe that will literally die and wake up in hell? Just like the man in Luke 16, and he'll be in flames and in torments. He said, I am tormented in this flame. Does that not put grief and sorrow in your heart, in my heart? If it ain't, brother, we may do some self-examination. God help us that we ever not have a burden for lost souls. Somebody said one time there was a difference between a call and a burden. That a burden is something you could lose, but a call lasts forever. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. I have concluded that no man ever got called of God until he has first had a burden for something. Amen? And if it takes a burden to get you a call, then why would the burden go away? I don't believe Paul's burden for his people or his kingdom according to the flesh ever left him. Though he was called to be an apostle to the Gentile, you find it everywhere the Apostle Paul went. He first went to the synagogue. He first went to the Jews. Why? Because he had great heaviness and continual sorrow in his heart for his brethren, his kinsmen according to the flesh. May I say something tonight, this morning, that you and I are kinsmen with everybody that has flesh. We're no different than the rest of the world. We're made out of the same clay. We got the same problems that they got. It's just, thank God, we've run head on into the grace of God and been saved by His marvelous grace. But what they are, we used to be. God help us that we would ever lose a burden for helping people who are in the same condition that we used to be in. Paul got a grief in his heart. He groaned in his spirit. And I got news for you. If you ever groan in your spirit, it'll affect you. John Knox got such a heavy burden for Scotland. He's prayed this prayer, God, give me Scotland or I die. Hudson Taylor said about China, if I had 1,000 lives, I'd give them all for China. Why could he say that? Because he got under a great big burden for China. Hey, it'll not only this inward evidence of a burden, it'll change your life. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. If you ever get under a burden, God will give you the desire for that burden. Paul said, and it changed Paul's life. It changed his desire. It changed his direction. And it changed his duty. On the road to Damascus, you know the story, how he was met there by God. He saw that bright light and got gloriously saved by the grace of God. And the first things out of his mouth was, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Have you ever said that to God? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? If you ever get under a burden in your heart, it'll cause you to give your heart to God and do what God's called. All the years I've been preaching and witnessing to people, I've never heard but one person say that. When I was stationed in Germany, God put a burden on my heart to win those soldiers that worked for me to God. And at night, I'd go home. At night, when I'd get home, I'd change my clothes and I'd knock on their doors. One night, I knocked on Doug Roeder's door. He recognized me. I was his boss. He wasn't going to turn me down. But I went in as a friend. I said, I'm here as a friend, not as a boss. I want to tell you about my Lord. And that night, Doug Roeder bowed his head and wept bitter tears and got saved by the grace of God. And when he raised his head, the first thing he said was, Chief, what I do now? I think that's just a paraphrase. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Paul got under a heavy burden, and it was evidenced in his heart. He had great sorrow, great heaviness, and continual sorrow. Can I say something else? Not only will this burden be evidenced inwardly, it'll be evidenced outwardly. The Bible says that we are to go to the uttermost. The church at Jerusalem received the commission of God to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And all of a sudden, one day in Acts chapter 13, the Apostle Paul and others, as they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I have called them. And you know what they said? Here we are, Lord, send us. It was evidence outwardly. If we get a burden for lost souls, it'll be evidence that we're willing to be sent or willing to sin and willing to serve. Am I right? You know I'm right. If we ever get under a burden like the Apostle Paul was burdened, it'll affect us outwardly. You know what going to the uttermost means? It doesn't mean just I used to preach this, that the uttermost part of the earth is the farthest place from here on this earth. But that's not really what it means. That applies. That's not what it means. When God told the church to go to the uttermost part of the earth, he said, you keep going until there's nowhere else to go and nobody else to tell it to. That's how long we're to keep going. God told Isaiah the same thing when Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, send me. And God sent him. And he said, how long, Lord? And the Lord said, until there ain't nobody else to talk to. You just keep on going. If we ever get under a burden for lost souls, there'll never be a time when we quit being concerned about lost souls. Y'all with me? Have I put you to sleep yet? Listen. To keep on sending and to keep on serving until there's nowhere else to go and nobody else to tell it to. Not only do we go to the uttermost, we ever get a burden, it'll be evidenced outwardly by our giving of ourselves. A willingness to surrender and to sacrifice ourselves for the burden that's on our heart. This burden for Paul was so heavy, he couldn't do anything else. but go and tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a tent maker. He gave up his tent making except when he needed it to sustain himself. On the road to Damascus, we mentioned this. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Paul said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, God put a burden on my heart, and I'm never going to quit preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I am not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. If we ever get under a burden, it'll cause us to serve God, to surrender ourselves to God, and never give up on that service and that surrender. Y'all with me? Amen. Not only that, it'll cause us to go on, to call, to serve, but it'll call us to keep on keeping on. Paul said to Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Can I say something to your heart this morning? That when you got saved by the good grace of a good God, he chose you to be a soldier in his army. And Paul said that I may please him who hath chosen me to be a soldier. You know what a soldier does? I tell you what a soldier does. He stands at attention when the master comes around and he salutes smartly. And when he gets orders, he says, yes, sir. And he keeps on going till he fulfills that order. God has commanded the church and God has commanded his children to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ around the world, and that order has never been rescinded. That order wasn't just given to me and to Brother Jeff and to Brother Bill and to Brother Stephen and to the pastor and these other preachers. It wasn't just given to them. It's given to all of us to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ around the world. And as Brother Abelson used to tell us, if you can't go across, then you come across so the rest of us can go. Get under a burden. Paul said, I have great sorrow, great heaviness, and continual sorrow in my heart. And it was evidence inwardly. It was evidence outwardly. Hey, a willingness to be not to be snared, not to be stayed, and not to spurn the suffering. Boy, we get so snared by the devil. We get snared by the cares of this world. And God said, love not the world and the things that are in the world. Don't be snared from this burden that God wants to put in your heart. Don't let the devil take it away from you. Jeremiah said, then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was wearied with forbearing and I could not stay. Jeremiah said, I can't quit preaching. This thing is in my heart and I cannot stay. And God has called every one of us to take his gospel to somebody else that doesn't have it. Paul was willing to suffer the scorn. But what things were gained to me, those I can and lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I can all things but lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. You know what Paul wanted? He wanted what Christ wanted. I believe Paul got the same burden on his heart that our Savior had. Jesus looked at this old sin-cursed world and said, there's only one solution, that's me. Only one remedy. And he gave it all. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he were rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And Paul got the same burden on his heart that Christ had on his heart. I could wish myself a curse from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. We ever get under a burden, it'll be evidenced inwardly. You'll know. I'll tell you something this morning. If you don't have a burden for lost souls, God help you. You need to get under one. You need to get under old Holy Ghost conviction and find you a place somewhere to get along with God and beg God to put that burden on your heart. God help us that we'd not have a burden for lost souls. A burden so great that if we don't go, we'd be willing to give. Paul had a burden. It was evidence inwardly. It was evidence outwardly. Can I tell you something else? A big burden will be evidenced visibly. I thought about this thing. Jeremiah said, I could not stay. He had such a burden to preach the Word of God. He had such a burden for the call that God put on his life. He said, I cannot stay. If God puts a burden on your heart and God puts a call on your life, you won't be able to stay. I tell you, I don't put much stock in a man's call that ain't out doing something. Oh me or oh my. If God puts a call on your life and you get a burden in your heart to do something for God, it will be evidenced visibly. People will be able to see you living out the burden that's on your heart. You think about Adoniram Judson. Him and his wife and another couple sailed out of New York City on February the 19th, 1812. 6 years and 10 days later, he won his first convert. 6 years and 10 days. During that 6 year period of time, he spent 11 months bound in fetters and chains in jails and prisons for a total of 17 months, 11 of those in chains. He suffered from fever, excruciating heat, and hunger, numbers of disappointment after disappointment, and the cruelty at the hands of his keepers. But he had a burden. He had a burden for the people of Burma. And while he was in prison, being tortured, sometimes hung up backwards by his arms, he told his wife, he said, put my scriptures in a pillow and bring them to me. I have to keep on my translation work. And while in prison, beaten and tortured and suffering, his burden was so heavy on his heart that he wanted to keep on working in despite of the misery. Why? Because he got under a great big burden for the people of Burma. He said, none of these things move me. Neither can I my life dear to myself, that I might win Christ. Adoniram Judson was under a burden. I think about Nate Saint and Jim Elliott and their families. You may know the story how they went down to South America, in Ecuador, I believe it was, to win the Alca Indians for the Lord Jesus Christ, native tribes which no man had ever contacted and lived. And they thought they had opened up a door to go in there. And Jim Elliott and Nate Saint, some other men, went in there and they were brutally murdered by those natives. And Nate Saint's wife and his children packed up and went back to that place and won the whole tribe for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. How in the world could anybody who watched people murder their own father and their own husband, how could they ever dare to go back to that place and win them for Christ? I tell you why, because they got under a big burden and it became visible that they had a burden. Boy, I think about, here's what Nate Saint said. People who do not know the Lord ask why in the world we would waste our lives as missionaries. They forget that they too are expending their lives. Do you know you're spending your life this morning? You are now spending your life. And when the bubble has burst, they will have nothing of eternal significance to show for the years they have wasted. When I think about this visible burden, I can't help but think about missionary Stephen Brock, one of our missionaries, who it was no doubt God burdened his heart for Salem, Massachusetts. Just a few months ago, 3 days before Halloween, out street preaching in the witch capital of the United States of America. He'd been opposed before, but this day some guy came up to him, mohawk haircut, tattoos all over his body, rings and pins about every place you could put them, and had implanted 2 knots in the top of his head like Hellboy, and stood in Stephen Brock's face and cursed him and belittled him while he preached the gospel and spit in his face 3 times. You know what Stephen did? He kept right on preaching. He said, "Sir, God loves you. Jesus loves you. I love you. And I want you to get saved and not go to hell." How in the world could a man stand and take such abuse? Why? Because he got under a great big burden. And he would not stay. Can I ask you this morning, is there any evidence that you have a burden? How big is your burden? Paul said, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." Paul was under a big burden. The Lord gave me this thought. I counted those words in those 3 verses. In 49 words, the Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, communicated his burden. "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. The Holy Ghost also bear me witness that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." Here's a thought God put on my heart. If God told you this morning to write 49 words that describe your burden, what could you write? I don't know about you, but I'd be ashamed if I couldn't write what the Apostle Paul wrote. You know why we're not reaching the world with the gospel? We don't have a burden for it. No telling what we could do for the cause of Christ and for the good of lost souls if we just get under a burden. Wouldn't be a problem to go if we had a burden. Wouldn't be a problem to stay if we had a burden. Wouldn't be a problem to give if we had a burden. Wouldn't be a problem to pray if we had a burden. Wouldn't be a problem to preach if we just had a burden. Wouldn't be a problem to go out soul winning and door knocking if we just had a burden. Would you stand, please? Heads bowed and eyes closed. I've tried my best to give you what the Lord put on my heart. I want to ask you this morning, how big's your burden? Might be you need to come this morning, bow on this altar and say, "Oh God, would you help me with my burden?" Father, I've done my best this morning, Lord,
to preach what you put on my heart. I thank you for helping me, Lord. I was really worried, God. But, oh, God, I pray this morning now that the Holy Ghost of God would stir our hearts. That somehow, Lord, we just find a way to get under a burden. Oh, God, if we just start looking at the needs of souls instead of numerical statistics. And, oh, if we could just see people, Lord, instead of seeing multitudes. If we'd see them like Christ saw them. People that need some help. God, stir our hearts this morning, not just for missions, but God, that we just have a burden for souls on our hearts. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to ask Brother Tim if he would lead the music, sing a verse.